You can go to Google right now, at least on my phone. I don't, maybe it's different than your phone. I'm starting to question everything here. But go to Google right now, and you can type in something like explosion near Statue of Liberty. Statue of Liberty damage. Statue of Liberty explosion 1916. Here's what comes up. Explosion at Liberty. On July 30th, 1916, the Black Tom Munitions Depot exploded, rocking New York Harbor and sending residents tumbling from their beds. The noise of the explosion was heard as far away as Maryland and Connecticut. On Ellis Island, terrified immigrants were evacuated by ferry to the Battery. You go down a little bit. When was the Statue of Liberty closed? You click on that. A narrow 40-foot long ladder is the only way to the torch, the Statue of Liberty's highest point. The torch has been off limits to visitors since the Black Tom explosion of July 30th, 1916. Google, the arbitrator of all knowledge now, says that no visitors have been to the Statue of Liberty since 1916, have never ever to the torch. My grandfather said he was there. My mother said that she was there. My uncle visited the Statue of Liberty. There was no notice, no plaque, no, the tour guide didn't say anything about some explosion, but just that it was old and in disrepair.
You would think in 1916, if that happened, at some point in time they'd get enough money to
fix it.
You know,
right, it's the Statue of Liberty.
It's the Statue of Liberty, million. Why wouldn't they fix it?
Well, why didn't they fix it to begin with? Can you go? Okay. I'm thoroughly freaked out now. Let's get back to Jeffrey. Jeffrey, what are some possible explanations here? Let's go over, these movies. Movie lines or whatever. Maybe there's just alternate endings. Maybe the CIA, they have a lot of influence. Maybe they're just inserting different scenes. I mean, I guess that's possible, isn't it?
Well, I guess it is. And I hate to make this any more weird, but I'm traveling. I'm in somebody else's home. And when we started talking about the Mandela effect at the beginning, I swear on all that is holy, they have one of those Alexa things in this house, and she started laughing, this real creepy laugh, as we started talking about the Mandela effect.
That right there is why I don't have Alexa in my house, Jeffrey.
Just to make it more weird. And I could see that, Daniel. I could see where the CIA could, change movies. They could go back and, they could scrub the internet. They could put in alternate scenes. But the thing that really would be very problematic to me is I know a lot of people that, they collect the Star Wars and they collect, the Lucy reruns, and they go back to all of them. And you can go back to the, DVDs, copies, VHS tapes they've had for years and years and years. And Ricky Ricardo's still not saying, Lucy, you got some splaining to do. Somebody gifted me a very, very old Bible, about 180 years old. First thing I did was turned, to the Psalms, and it's still a wolf lying down with the lamb. So I know the CIA has a long reach and they can do a lot of things in technology, but I don't know how they can get into everybody's houses and replace their VHS tapes and how they could get in to my house and replace that Bible. That is very, very curious to me.
Okay, me too. I mean, that's so then we're let, maybe there's some incidences where there are some psyops where just, they're trying to drive us crazy to see what we'll do. Maybe that's, I would say that's, maybe that's possible, but generally what you're saying seems to be more true. So therefore, there's two possibilities left. One, something really on some crazy woo-woo levels going on, or two, our brains are just mass misremembering. That's it. There's only two explanations that are going. Let's put misremembering aside for a second. Let's go to some kind of woo-woo stuff is going on. Okay, what could possibly be causing that?
Well, it has to be a temporal effect. It has to be something or someone that is able to manipulate time itself. And I keep going back to Daniel, and he said that this entity would actually manipulate time itself and change notable events. So Daniel foresaw something just exactly like this happening and a time just exactly like this. So at the end of the day, I think it is, there has to be a spiritual component to it. And my friend Cliff High suggested. He did a very exhaustive data research, and you know, a lot of the Mandela effects come out of, you know, L.A. area Hollywood in movies. And one of the first D-Wave computers started out in that Hollywood area. A lot of the other Mandela effects come out in advertising, logo changes, jingle changes. And one of the D-Wave, early D-Wave computers was also there in the New York City area near, you know, what is it, Fifth Avenue or wherever they have all the advertising, Madison Avenue. And then there's a D-Wave computer down and what some people would argue is the buckle of the Bible Belt, you know, around the Austin, Texas area. So now you have the changes going on in the Bible. So is there a geographic correlation to the rollout of the Mandela effect that at least somewhat mirrors the rollout of D-Wave computers? It's, at the very least, a very interesting theory.
D-Wave computers, how would you describe that? What is a D-Wave computer?
Well, I'd probably describe it poorly, but from what I understand, they basically have a little chip that they have. It's just a chip, and they put it in this great big thing they call a drum, which is really a great big room, and they super cool it, you know, hundreds of degrees below zero. And what they say, I mean, if you look on the website, what they're trying to do is push all reality out of that area so that the chip is completely, totally isolated. Now, if you are able to push reality out of an area, that reality going out of that area is going into another area, is that possibly creating some reality waves, some time waves, some temporal waves? And could that possibly be an explanation for how these time ripples, which is a pretty elegant explanation or description of a Mandela effect, is that what's causing it to ripple out across time and space?
I don't know. If you're asking me, good
yeah.
question. Let's talk about CERN, the Hadron Collider. You know, they're putting particles traveling at ungodly speeds together and crashing them to see what happens. Is something possibly happening from that? Let me back up. The idea of a Mandela effect seems like a relatively new phenomenon. Is that accurate?
Well, it is relatively new, and the reason it's called the Mandela effect is because a lot of people remember Nelson Mandela dying as a prisoner in a South African prison. And, of course, most of the rest of us remember him going on to get out of prison and become the president of South Africa. So that's why it's called the Mandela effect. And, I mean, when was that, the 60s, 70s? So at the very latest, it's at the very, you know, oldest.
90s.
Not that long. It's a very, very new phenomenon.
Okay, so then let's get back to the CERN collider. Do people have any idea about what is going on with that CERN collider? Are they? I'm grasping at straws here, Jeff. I mean, is there anything there you think possibly?
Well, you know, Daniel, I'm a Bible college graduate, not a math major, but from what I know about CERN and from listening to Cliff's discussions of D-Wave, if I had to push, you know, my chips into the middle of the table, I'm not really a gambler, but I would go more, as far as the Mandela effect specifically, that it's more of a D-Wave thing, because D-Wave is actually affecting reality and moving reality, whereas CERN, you know, the colliders, I'm not saying it couldn't do it, but for some reason, to me, I wouldn't put Mandela effect at the feet of CERN. I'd much rather put it at the feet of D-Wave and whatever this being is that Daniel calls the Antichrist. And again, from a spiritual perspective, at least my spiritual perspective, the whole end game is to deceive us, disturb us, distract us, so that we miss important information that, according to Daniel, literally rendered, can bring us into a perfect state of infinite sharing, and we all want to get there. So let's talk about it. Let's enjoy it. Let's try to figure it out, but let's make sure we keep the first things first, right?
Okay. This reminds me of the scripture about in the last days. You know, you're the scholar. You're the 100,000-hour scholar. Let's go to you. Is in the scripture something about in the last days time will be cut short or else all mankind will be destroyed, something like that?
You're talking about Daniel 24, where, you know, Jesus says there'll be a time of great tribulation, you know, so bad that if it weren't cut short, no one would be saved. But for the elect's sake, that time would be cut short.
You know, now going into a biblical realm, I mean, this is so weird. esoteric, secular, biblical, religious. I mean, I don't know where to go with this. On a biblical sense, if I looked at this from that standpoint, let's say, okay, somebody, something is manipulating our consciousness, is manipulating our, what would you say, our perception of time. Well, if they're able to continue to do that, if that's able to magnify, well, my God, I mean, what couldn't they do to us? So it almost have to get cut short.
That's a very good point. And, you know, again, we talked a little bit about this before we came on air, talking about, you know, the powers that be, you know, the powers that are in opposition to us being all the best we can be as humans are trying to, you know, limit us and hinder us and trying to keep us from realizing that seed of divinity within us. And in all likelihood, it's probably all part of the same game.
I think that makes more sense to me if there's something to this, something real. That we talk about this on the show all the time. Our divinity, our consciousness, whatever has been given inside us. It seems pretty obvious to me that Lucifer or some force is trying to, obviously DARPA is trying to replicate it in robots. I don't think they're going to be able to. I don't think it's replicatable. But it seems like that people are trying to capture that consciousness in us, and I see that going on. Our consciousness is being captured and is being hacked and being used against us. That's what I see. Thoughts about that?
I think you're exactly right. And they are, you know, they, the great ubiquitous they, the fear and guilt control matrix, the whatever you want to call them, there is an effort, it does seem like, to not only dumb us down, not only to retard our progress as individuals, and to, you know, keep us at a very base modality, at a very base frequency, but they are, it does seem like they're trying to duplicate what we have. That's why, you know, I'm in the YouTube world, and there's a lot of, you know, fear and loathing about, you know, 5G and DARPA and CERN and all the, you know, skull technologies, and they can talk into your brain. And I understand that, and I understand that they are things we should be concerned about. I understand that they are threats, but in the back of my mind, I'm strangely optimistic because I know that we are divine, we are sovereign, we are free, that the kingdom of God's in us, and they're not going to be able to duplicate that, and they're frantically trying to become who we are, and if we can just remember who we are before they figure it out, everything's going to be all right, Daniel.
That's one of the most powerful things anybody's ever said on this show. We're divine, we're sovereign, and free. If we can just remember that, then, you know, if God be with us, who can be stand against us? Stay tuned. Jeffrey Doherty on the other side, the Christian whistleblower. Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. I'm going to check that out and try to go back in the Greek, or not the Greek, the Hebrew, and translate back into English, maybe get some deeper meanings there. We're going to push Mandela aside just for a second, and we're going to move on to some other, I think, important topics. And Jeffrey can talk about just about anything. He is so interesting. He's involved with crypto anthropology. We've heard of cryptocurrencies, crypto anthropology, which means things that are hidden. Jeffrey, of all the things that you've researched and trying to bring hidden truths to light, what is the biggest thing, the most important thing that you have discovered that has been hidden from us?
Two of them battle with me, and one of them you mentioned before we were on the air live, but two quick things. Number one, I think one of the things that has been hidden from us that is truly transformative once we understand it is that the New Testament, the order of the books of the New Testament, has been intentionally completely jumbled. It wasn't written Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans as we know it. James was the first book written. And the question is, why would we jumble up books that we know when they were written? Why not put them in the order that they're written in? There's no good reason for that. And it jumbles the whole message of Jesus. It jumbles the whole message of the New Testament. And I think the second thing that we haven't been told and that's been hidden from us ties right back into that is that Jesus taught that the kingdom of God is within us in Luke chapter 17, that we're divine, we're sovereign, we're free, we're not born with original sin, but we have the spark of divinity within. And I think those two things go hand in hand. That's why things are jumbled up, and that might be the great truth that they're trying to keep from us, in my humble opinion.
You wrote something in your biography your bio. I didn't read the whole thing. It's, you know, a little lengthy. But you said that the Bible has been, what's the word, oversaw, filtered through, maybe that's a better word. It's been filtered through two great new world orders,
right.
The Roman Empire and the British Empire. And
right.
So some of these things start, these truths start getting mixed up. Talk about the order there. Go back to the number, the first thing you said about the, why was the order changed? Well, I guess King James or whatever. I don't know. Tell us about that.
Well, that's my great question. Why would you take, you know, there's 26 books in the New Testament. We know really close when they were written. There's some, you know, some of them are written real close. Maybe they got one out of order, two out of order. I can understand that. It's debatable. But to take James, which is way back towards the middle of the pack in the New Testament, they know that was the first one written. It was written in 47 AD. Why isn't it number one? Why is it instead number 17 or 18? Same thing with Mark, Luke, John. They have completely, with willful volition, jumbled the order of the books. I want to know why, and nobody's been able to give me a satisfactory answer to that question yet. Because I think the only reason you would do it is to jumble up the sequential flow of the message. If you want to understand what somebody's saying, and they wrote 26 books, you want to read them in order so you can follow their train of thought and understand that when people got a book in the New Testament, it was a letter and it was going to be read in view of the letters that had come before it. So we don't understand the New Testament like they did in the first century because we haven't been given it to us like they had it given to them in the first century. I personally am offended by that, Daniel, and I think I had the right to know that it's out of order.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I did not know that 47 A.D. was James. Are you sure of that? How do we know about the date? Because there's a big controversy about when the New Testament was actually written.
Well, I'm just talking about the dates that the vast majority of Bible scholars agree upon. You can Google, or, you know, go into your favorite search engine and order the New Testament books when they were written. And it's not like it's hidden. It'll lay it right out for you. But then the next question is, why did that? Well, the Holy Spirit inspired that. Well, why didn't the Holy Spirit inspire them to be written in the right order if the Holy Spirit was going to change the order? Which time did the Holy Spirit mess up?
Talk about the book of Revelations. Obviously, we're talking about microchipping everybody. Of course, allusion to Mark of the Beast and Revelation. That's a huge thing. If people know very little about the Bible, they know that Adam and Eve took the fruit, Jesus was born and crucified, and there was a Mark of the Beast somewhere in there. I mean, that's, I think, what the common people in America all know, those three things.
Right. That's true. To me, the biggest thing about the book of Revelation is everybody thinks about the apocalypse, and it's going to be wars and rumors of wars and scary and trumpets and plagues and locusts, oh my, fear, 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 worry, worry, worry. And the word, the Bible, it's called the book of Revelation. In Greek, that is apocalypso. In English, that's apocalypse. You know what the definition of it is? It's unveiling. So how does something that's supposed to be an unveiling get recast into something that's fear and dread and worry? That's what I want to know.
I don't know. Good question. You know, good question. Why is the Statue of Liberty closed since 1916? I don't know. Stay tuned. Short segment here. Long segment coming up. More with Jeffrey Daugherty, the Christian Whistleblower on YouTube. Our website, thepowerhour.com, thepowerhour.com. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the Power Hour. Great topic with Jeffrey. I hope you guys take this interview. We're going to get into some deeper stuff also. I'd like to make you aware of specials over at the Power Mall, thepowermall.com, thepowermall.com. This is how we're funded. Please take advantage of it. Please take advantage of these products that we offer. They're the best. You know, there's a big difference between vitamins that you may get at a big box store and really high-quality products that have been researched by people who have thoughtfully put them together. Buy from the good guys. That's kind of our motto and tagline here. Grown by nature products. All the Jason Dirkovitz is going to be on this week. You want, there's a big difference between calcium carbonate and real elemental calcium, Mother Earth mineral, the grown by nature products. 10% off North American Urban Spice. Cass is going to come up to talk about hempanol. You guys want to know about hempanol? He's going to come talk about that. 10% off at the Power Mall. But you got to call on that. But the other products are up there. Mr. Oxygen, OxyFlush, colon cleanser, 10% off. Detoxing. How important is detoxing, getting rid of these things from your body? There's a select products, 25% off if you call for the information. Of course, the cardio, the nitric oxide powder, you're going to have to call 877-817-9829, 877-817-9829. Thank you so much for your support, for your donations, for your purchases, and also our YouTube channel. You can go on the website, thepowerhour.com. You can see the news. You can see links to interviews. If you click on the navigation bar at the top, you can look at schedule. You can look at old interviews. You can search people's names. You can put in Jeffrey Doherty, and this interview will come up here in a day or two, and even this old interview. So you can... join on the top right. There's a banner about YouTube channel, our YouTube channel. YouTube killed our channel, all our subscribers, everything. So we basically started from scratch. We have a few hundred people, and we're growing, and we're putting more and more information on there. Please subscribe. Please check out these interviews. They're a good, easy way to share and to spread information. You have never been more important. You who search the truth, know the truth, want to know more truth, who understand the divinity, the sovereignty upon you, the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, our position in this world, and what it means. You've never been more important. Your influence, just being who you are, having light, not necessarily political, not necessarily religious, not necessarily health. All of any light that you have, please let it shine right now. ThePowerMall.com is to get the products. ThePowerHour.com is where you get the news and the information. And, of course, Jeffrey Doherty, if you want to check him out on YouTube, Christian Whistleblower, you can check his page out on YouTube. So good to have him with us. Jeffrey, we were talking about the Bible, the different books, when they were written, when they were then put together, and they're way out of order. Where does the Apocrypha come in this, the Book of Enoch and some of these other books that basically the Nicene Creed or the Council of Nicaea, they cut them out of the Bible? What's your thoughts there?
Well, I just subscribed to the Power Hour YouTube channel, so I'm glad to see that you guys have that. And that's one of the big questions is, you know, not only did the Roman Empire edit, vet it, and approve the New Testament, because you have to understand that those books were written under Roman military occupation, and they had a person called a censor, which would read every word that was published by subjected peoples to make sure that they weren't saying anything that, you know, was against the government or against the Caesar, nothing seditious. So the New Testament was written in such a way to get it through Roman authorization. So it was vetted, edited, and approved by the Roman Empire. You come down a few centuries and you get to King James, where he did the exact same thing, hired some dudes, they figured it out and decided that they wanted to do it. So it's been through not one but two New World Orders, not one but two world governments. And then you get down to the place where, you know, these guys that, and especially in the case of King James, they weren't necessarily, you know, super duper linguistic scholars. They were taking things out for reasons that are open to debate. And, you know, why would they take out certain books that make up what we call the Apocrypha? Why would they leave in other books? What's the standard of measurement? We really don't know. So as much as it's possible for us and as much as we can pry ourselves away from, you know, TV and the NFL and all that, I think it behooves us as spiritual people to try to look into that and read as much of that as we possibly can and see if we can't find some type of enlightenment or understanding. You know, we eat the meat, we throw out the bones. But I think it's a profitable spiritual quest to expand our paradigms, to expand our spiritual horizons, and read and understand more wisdom books and take some parts that can help us. And if they can't help us, just leave them be. But why let somebody else decide what you need to read when you can decide for yourself here in 2019 with this little thing called the Internet?
For now. Yeah, sure.
For now.
Yeah, we talked earlier today, and I really loved what you said. You just described basically a big problem that many people have with the Bible. You know, who even knows if it's true? So many things have been edited, blah, 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 whatever you want to say. And it makes people doubt. As I learn these things, I obviously know the mistakes. I obviously start to know not as well as you, but, you know, I have questions about these things. But as I have dug deeper and learned these mistakes, shortcomings, whatever, they haven't diminished my belief in what you'd call Christianity. You've actually heightened it and deepened it somehow. And you kind of mirror that same thing. How is that even possible?
You know, it's the only thing I can relate it to, Daniel, is when I was in the Air Force, I had a buddy that worked with the Department of Treasury, and his specialty was detecting counterfeit currency. And I said, oh, well, you must spend a lot of time, you know, looking at counterfeit and feeling counterfeit. And he goes, no, not really. He says, we don't spend much time at all with the counterfeit. We spend so much time handling true currency, real currency, you know, counting it, feeling it, looking at it, smelling it, sometimes even tasting it, believe it or not. They become so familiar with the genuine currency that as soon as they touch something that is counterfeit, you know, it sets off their spidey senses or whatever you want. And I think the more that you get yourself into the Bible, and some people will say of me, oh, he doesn't believe the Bible, but that's not really true. I think the Bible remains a profitable study for everyone that is seeking spiritual enlightenment and spiritual maturity and to become a better person. And the more you read through it, you know, I've read through it literally hundreds of times. I spent a lot of hours reading through it. And still to this day, I'll read things that I've never seen before, Daniel. And the more you read it, the more familiar you become with the genuine, then you're able to maybe set aside some things that either aren't for you at that time or maybe were added by transcribers or translators. But get into it. It's the founding document, one of the founding documents of, you know, one of the greatest civilizations in the history of mankind for a reason. It certainly doesn't need to be thrown out, and I still believe that the Bible maintains its status as a very profitable study for people that are of high, noble character.
You mentioned, well, you just said, almost verbatim, I put in the book Forever 1776. This is very serendipitous. We spend a lot of time here, basically, truth media, independent media, whatever, spend a lot of time, for lack of a better word, complaining. We complain, well, they did this, they did that, the government's doing this, blah, 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 blah. What we try to do here, yes, we do a lot of complaining, but we also try to show people the truth. And what I mean the truth is, look, the Declaration of Independence, look, the Bill of Rights, what law really is, what our founding fathers really wanted. Because it's only through that, you got to know the real thing to know if you're seeing the counterfeit. How in the world can you spot a counterfeit unless you touch the real thing? We have been so removed from the real thing. We have been so, our heritage, our inheritance, our whatever you want to say, has been ripped from us or engineered out of us that we have very little concept of that. You want to comment on that maybe?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll use a very unpolitically correct idiom. You know, you're not much of a cowboy if you're not taking some arrows, and it's the pioneers that take all the arrows. And, you know, when they're shooting at you, when they're trying to come against your culture, when they're trying to tear you down, when they're trying to belittle you, when they're trying to debase you, it's because they know that you have something. If you weren't powerful, if you weren't sovereign, if you weren't able to make a difference, they wouldn't be so focused on you and worried about you. And we know, as, you know, as patriotic Americans, we know that we're being under attack, and I think we're under attack not because we're bigots, not because we're bad people, but because we have and believe in a form of government and a form of living that does believe that everybody has certain inalienable rights given to them by their creator. We do believe that we all have access to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and we would all rather live free than die on our knees, and that's really what they're against. And it's not just white people. I served in the Air Force with black people, Mexican people, love their country just as much as I did as a white guy. I served in the Air Force with Muslims and with Jews and with pagans that loved America as much as I did. And it's that idea of if we don't hang together, we're going to hang separately. It's that idea of don't tread on us. It's that idea of we are going to live free or die. That's what they really don't want to be perpetuated.
Well, I don't like to divide between white, black, whatever. I agree with you. My friend, I don't care what color, belief, whatever you are. If you're for freedom, you're for liberty, you're for the Bill of Rights, you're for the Declaration of Independence, you are my brother, you're my sister, you're my friend. But on the other side, we're going to talk about, in the context of the white race, and a news story that has just come up. Stay tuned. I think this is important. Christian Whistleblower at YouTube, his YouTube channel. There's articles about the white replacement rate of births, and I don't like to single out a race, but it seems like that's the one that gets singled out to be attacked. I believe culturally they really go back. It's like they're attacking Robert E. Lee. They don't care about Robert E. Lee. These Marxist socialists, they care about Thomas Jefferson because Thomas Jefferson wrote the Declaration of Independence. That of all the people in the world, the whatever you call them, the WASPs, the white people, the whatever, and the black people out here, I call them Americans, but majorly white. But they were the ones who established the Declaration of Independence, which it's maybe the greatest moment, mankind's greatest moment, other than some of the, you know, Jesus or what have you. Maybe our greatest moment, period. I think that's the attack that's going on. How do you explain this attack on white culture, white race, white population? It seems like we have become cursed.
It almost does, Daniel. And I don't know that they're attacking us so much because we're white. I think they're attacking us because we're right. And I would say right not only in just being correct, but right in being righteous. You know, the color of our skin, okay. A lot of times it's white, but for some reason, you know, we have these messages, we have these ideas, we have these ideals, and maybe it's because we, you know, in the past have stole land and usurped things and, you know, have kept ourselves on top. But at this point, we kind of are the sacred holders of some informations and some systems and some ideas that are very high and lofty ideas, and it's certainly not exclusively white people. I think it's more an attack on traditionalism than it is on whites.
Yeah. They
but
just
we
do
have ideas that are transformational.
People, yeah.
Exactly. We have ideas that are transformational. We have ideas that have been the basis of the most successful, you know, human culture that anyone can remember. And I think that they want to tear us down. They want to attack us. They want to let people flood in from our borders that are, you know, have dread diseases, that don't want to assimilate, that want to try to tear us down from within. And the thing that really bugs me is people want to talk about how immoral we are about immigration. The United States of America has had the most liberal immigration laws forever of any country. We've taken more people in, and we still welcome people in. Everyone that's listening to this show, everyone that's on the show, we came here as immigrants. But we came here and we went through the proper channels. We went through, you know, quarantines. We went through exams. And we're not saying no to anybody. We're just saying, come in. We welcome you. But you've got to come in through the right channels. You've got to come in through the right things. You can't be bringing dread disease in our country. You can't be bringing drugs. You can't be bringing gang affiliations. You can't be bringing violence. We are not going to allow that to happen. That's us. We don't want to allow that to happen. There's a lot of other people that want to allow it to happen. So it's a battle of cultures right now, and I think we're going to win in the end.
Well, I appreciate your optimism, and I don't care what color you are. You're for freedom, for truth, whatever. You're my brother. You're my friend. And
absolutely.
There's a quote, Thomas Jefferson, he kind of gets, this debate gets singled out. Here's a quote he gave. I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man. Now, that doesn't sound like an atheist or a deist or a agnostic to me at all.
Absolutely not. All you have to do is read the Declaration of Independence. And if you read the whole thing in its entirety, which most of us haven't, sadly or not, I challenge you to read the Declaration of Independence and then tell me that that was written by somebody that didn't have, at the very least, a huge respect for, if not a love and devotion to, a divine being.
What is the deal with preachers today? Preachers in the 1770s actually fomented revolution. Now they're neutralizing it. What is the deal with these preachers?
You know, I hate to try to speak for everybody that's a preacher. You know, I was one for 20 years, and I know that the thing that kept me in there for probably at least 10 years longer than I knew I should be there was because the church paid for my house, paid for my car, you know, fed my kids three meals a day, fed my wife. All I had was a Bible college degree. And I hate to say it, Daniel, but probably one of the reasons why preachers aren't leaders of revolution anymore when they should be is because they are too fat and sassy. They're in some ways bought and paid for, and the 501c3 has, in a way, handcuffed and gagged those that don't have the intestinal fortitude to stand up and speak forth the truths that need to be heard, not just religiously but culturally across the board.
Abortion, the churches don't even talk about abortion anymore. We have Pastor Nicholas Wright down there, America's pastor from Covenant Love down in outside of Dallas. I mean, what a group of people taking such a bold steps to really pull themselves out of this corporate system. For anybody who will listen, I've said this over and over, and this is probably the last time we'll have question for, and get your response. This whole argument, this whole war, this whole discussion comes down to who are we? Whose are we and who are we? And the government has been used as a tool of Lucifer, if we're going to get esoteric, really it's Lucifer, who wants to control and contain and captivate our divinity to turn us from divinely endowed beings into servile, basically cattle. And to take that divinity away and to control that divinity, and that really, that's the whole battle, that's the whole question. I don't care if a policeman's abusing you or if a communist country is ravaging your state. I mean, that's really, who are you? They don't have the right to do this.
That's right. Daniel, I am divine. I am sovereign. I am free. I think that you are as well. And if you want to fight for that, and if you believe in that and you want to stand on that, you're okay with me. We'll stand shoulder to shoulder, red, yellow, black, or white. You may want to take us all down together, but watch out because we will stand up and fight.
We do have that was beautiful. I wish the show was over, but we got about a minute left. That was perfect. That's it, really. And what's it going to take for people? You know, we've seen now abortion, they're talking about homosexuality in schools to 5-year-olds. I don't want my 5-year-old learning about anything sexual, not just homosexuality. I don't want them to learn anything sexual. There's a complete attack.
You know, they come out of high school and they're all dialed in on the great, you know, social maxims that they want to learn, but they can't read, they can't write, they can't do math. Let's at least get it back into balance where we're teaching people the 3 R's and teaching them to be people that can survive in the world and thrive in a world. Who cares what their social beliefs are and whether they can pass, you know, the Democratic National Committee's litmus test or not. Let's make some people that can read, write, spell, and get jobs and be productive before we worry about trying to manufacture their thoughts.
Jeffrey, it has been an absolute pleasure, as always, talking to you. Please come back sooner. Let's not wait so long before we talk again.
Absolutely, Daniel. Anytime you want to have me, it's my honor and privilege to be here. Thanks so much.
We got about 10, 15 seconds. Last word, a word of hope for everybody listening.
You're divine, you're sovereign, you're free. Be your own guru, guide your own spirit, master your own ascension.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Very good to talk to you, Jeffrey. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what it's all about. I hope you feel the power. I hope you feel that. Freedom is not free. Freedom is not always safe. But what else is there? And that's our purpose. And really, it's the decision. You know, if you want to talk about God or what have you, or whatever you want, your family, it's that decision. That decision has power and ramifications for generations to come. You have no idea. Win, lose, or draw, it doesn't matter. That decision. Decide. ThePowerHour.com. God bless you. See you tomorrow.